morning? And where would I be? Where would you be? Where would I'm so thankful this morning for that. Well, I have a question for you this morning. Do you love? I'm not a romantic, boyfriend, girlfriend, that kind of love. But the kind of love like when you first found yourself passionate about something. But you just wanted to, you know, the thing that you do and hours just fly by, you know. The thing that you just really wanted to do more than anything. Became passionate about something for the first time. For me, it was sixth grade football. I grew up in a family, we didn't watch sports, which seems really weird to me now. But you know, in my family, we didn't watch sports, not even the big events, not you know, the World Series, Super Bowl, we didn't watch any of that. And, excuse me, right before sixth grade, I moved to a new school. And at recess, a lot of the kids played football at this school. At my old school, they weren't football in recess, but at this school you could. And so we played football, and it wasn't supposed to be tackled, but of course, you know, two-hand shove, you know, we just shoved them to the ground. That was kind of tackled. So I learned, man, I really kind of like this game. And after school, you know, some of the guys, I didn't know that many, and so they'd invite me over. I'm like, yeah, sure, I'll hang out. And we'd play football, and I learned that I was pretty good at it. It was hard for them to tackle me, and I was faster than most. So I really began love of football, and that's when I really began to love, you know, the Michigan and I really started just getting into football. And today, I'm just passionate about football. I love football. I'm so happy that football is back. You know, yeah. You know, this Thursday is the kickoff season, if you don't know that. So mark your calendars. It's important stuff. But and yesterday kicked off college football. I just love this time of year. High school football. Austin had his first game last night. And I'm working with the team again this year doing leadership stuff. And I just love doing that. I love football. I'm passionate about football. About a little bit after that, in seventh grade, I started going to church, and I've shared my story before, but I came home from school one day in seventh grade. My mom said, we're going to start going to church. And I didn't like that idea because Sunday was my day to stay home and watch football. And but we started going. And after about 6 months of going to church and going to youth group and stuff, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Best decision I've ever made in my life. And it made all the difference for me. And so that began a passion within me for God and the things of God. And after my freshman year of high school, I felt God calling me into the ministry. And so I started to pursue that. It's kind of funny how God, even within our passion, he changes our passion. You know, I graduated from college, from Olivet with a degree, and I had no desire to be a youth pastor. That was like not even on my radar. I did my internship at Portage First Church of Nazarene, Portage, Indiana, a great church. That's where George and Sue Bagley were from. I actually met them then, and it was a great church, and they were going to hire me. I did my internship at the end of my senior year, and they were going to hire me to be sports and recreation pastor. You know, that sounds like the dream job, right? And so they were going to hire me to do that in the fall, but that summer, the youth pastor and the associate pastor both left to become senior pastors elsewhere. And so the pastor called me and said, hey, this whole sports recreation thing, we're putting that on the back burner. But do you have any interest in being our youth pastor? And I was like, no. You know, I mean, I didn't think about it. I had no desire to be a youth pastor. And now, 25 years later, I'm doing youth pastor still. You know, I love it. You know, so God changes our passions. I grew up in a single-parent home most of my childhood. There were about 5 years, the Ray years, as I call them. And I had a stepdad. It wasn't a pleasant time. It wasn't a good 5 years. And so I became passionate as I got older about I wanted to be a godly husband, a godly father. I'm passionate about my family. And so, you know, I'm passionate about football. I'm passionate about God. I'm passionate about family. And but I'm going to share with you, and a lot of you probably know those things if you know me very well. I have another passion. At least I used to, that might surprise you a little bit. I used to be passionate about singing. Yeah. If you don't know me very well, or if you don't sit by me on Sunday mornings, you may not, I can't carry a tune in a bucket, okay? I have no musical ability whatsoever. A couple years ago on Christmas Eve, maybe you were here, I had my big moment, right? My moment to shine. I had the triangle. I got to play the triangle on Christmas Eve. And so I stood up here right about here or so, And I played that triangle for all my with all my heart. Really, the only time I knew to hit it was when Peg would point at me. She's up there conducting, and she'd point at me. And that was, oh, okay, that's all, okay, okay. Otherwise, you know, I'd be, you know, I have no rhythm. I have no music ability whatsoever. I really don't. But I used to be passionate. When I was younger, I used to love to sing. I wasn't very good at it. But the problem was, I didn't know that I wasn't very good at it. And so I just, and so I used to sing a lot. And I remember when I first started going to youth group, going to church, our youth group was going to have Celebrate Life. We're going to Celebrate Life. And our youth pastors were putting together a choir, a youth choir, to sing at Celebrate Life. And we were singing the hymn, The Old Rugged Cross. And I love that song to this day. It's like, I think that was the first time I ever really heard it, first time I ever sang it. And so to this day, I love that song. But so we had our choir practices. And so, and at the time, I thought they put me in the back row because I was tall. Makes sense, right? But now I know better. They were trying to get me as far away from the mics and the judges as they possibly could. My youth pastor's wife, you know, sweet, godly woman, she was very nice. And they didn't know me very well at that time. I just started going. And so, you know, she probably didn't want to offend me, so she was very nice. And she was, and they said, well, we need a solo. We need someone to sing a solo. Oh, yeah, sure, me, I'll do it. Why wouldn't I? I have this beautiful voice, I thought. You know, I'll be happy to share it, you know. And she was very gracious. I don't remember what she said, what excuse she gave me, but she was very gracious about it. And I was like, oh, okay, you know, maybe next time, you know. And so I used to love singing. I wasn't very good at it. I'm not very good at it. Never will be very good. Until I get to heaven. I believe when we get to heaven, we're going to have a perfected body, right? The word tells us. I'm going to be able to sing. I'm looking forward to that. And I know you all are too, right? But so I was so passionate about singing that I thought I had this really good voice. We had moved into this new house, and our neighbor, they had a teenage daughter named Teresa Alexander. And Teresa was beautiful. I mean, she was like 15, I was like 11. But I knew I was going to marry Teresa Alexander. I just knew it. And so one day in the summer, she was laying out suntanning. You know, people used to do that. You know, she'd be out in her backyard, had a lounge chair, she was suntanning. So I thought, here's my moment. Here's my moment to show her how much I love her. And so I turned up the stereo, put on some Elvis. This is not an exaggeration. This is a true story. Put on some Elvis. I grabbed my plastic guitar with the plastic strings. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, yeah. And I went out on the deck. We had a walkout basement. We had a deck up there down at her. And I start singing along with Elvis, playing my guitar. And, you know, she was so sweet about it. She stood up or sat up and she smiled, you know, she didn't go running off, which I'm thankful. But, and I went through the whole song, the whole song. And I knew that, you know, when I was done, there was just, our eyes were going to meet, and she was going to know that I was the one. And so, the song comes to an end, and I just stand there, letting our eyes lock. But what I didn't realize, the whole time, three teenage boys who lived behind her out in the backyard that I never even saw. I had no idea where they were. So as soon as I stopped singing, they all started going, yeah, and they started cheering into the house, shut the door, pulled the curtains. I don't think I came out all summer long after that. I was so embarrassed. But we have different passions, right? And sometimes those passions are misdirected, like singing for me. I ask you this morning, what are you passionate about? Maybe it's sports. Maybe it's TV or fashion. Maybe it's cars or politics. Maybe it's a cause, your family. Passion is a difference maker. It has the fuel. Passion is the fuel that mobilizes us to rush, warriors to rush into battle. It motivates scientists to find new cures. Passion moves athletes to train. Passion motivates us to set goals and to reach for them as we go through life. The passionate are willing to make whatever sacrifice is necessary, whatever their heart beats for, whatever they're passionate about. They will go for it with everything they have. And we were created with the ability to be passionate. Passion has nothing to do with age. Passion has nothing to do with our personality. Now, our personality may affect how we demonstrate our passion, but you don't have to be an extrovert to be passionate about something. Every single one of us were created with a God-given ability to be passionate. And I believe that the most passionate people in the world ought to be us who are followers of Christ. I really do. And I base that on Romans 12:11. If you have your Bibles, you can turn over that, or it'll be on the screen if you want to read it there. But Romans 12:11, this first time I'm going to read it NIV. And it reads, "Never be lacking zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord." Zeal is another word for enthusiasm or passion. And the word fervor is translated from the Greek word kagne, which means to bubble over, literally bubbling over with interest or desire. That's how God wants us to live. He wants our lives to be bubbling over with Him and our passion for Him. And I just wonder, if we were to ask the people that we work with, that we live with, do you see that in me? Is my passion for God, does it bubble over? Do you see it? You know, and I'm afraid sometimes maybe others don't see it. And Romans 12:11 is literally saying that our passion, our spiritual passion, should be bubbling over. I want to read the same verse in a couple different translations. The Common English Bible reads, "Don't hesitate to be enthusiastic. Be on fire in the Spirit as you serve the Lord." The New Living Translation says, "Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastic." Another translation reads, "Be enthusiastic to serve the Lord, keeping your passion toward Him boiling hot. Radiate with the glory of the Holy Spirit and let Him fill you with excitement as you serve Him." That is how we're supposed to live as followers of Christ. We are supposed to live that way, bubbling over in our spiritual passion. Jesus promised in John 7:38, He said, "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." That's a life of passion. That's a life bubbling over for Him. God designed us and He desires us to be passionate about Him. Now, it's okay to be passionate about other things. You know, football, your family, those things aren't bad. It's okay to be passionate about other things. But our first passion, our greatest passion, really needs to be our relationship with the Lord. And so, if we're going to ask you how God wants us to live, 6 observations about passion I want to share with you. 1, passion isn't passive. Passive is defined as lacking energy, will. It's motionless. It's idle. It's uninvolved. It's rested. You can't be enthusiastically passive, right? It's an oxymoron. Because passion is active. It's engaged. It's expressed. It's tangible. It's visible. You know, passive is attending church. You know, Pastor Fred's been preaching the last couple of weeks about the foundation of the church and how we're called, yes, we're called to attend church, but we're not called to just attend church. Attending church is passive, and passion isn't passive. 2nd observation is that passion can be lost. Now, that's something we all know, right? Sometimes we're really passionate about something. I used to be passionate about fantasy football. For like 18 years, I ran a league. I was the commissioner of this league, and we had trophies. We'd get together. I mean, one time I rode a train from Kansas City to Chicago to meet with my friends so we could have the fantasy draft, you know? I used to be really passionate about fantasy football. And it waned over time. I got tired of it, and I didn't want to do it anymore. And so for a number of years, I haven't. And so, you know, passions, you know, can come and go. Passion can be lost. And we're, you know, very similar in our lives, our spiritual lives. Sometimes we just try to go on autopilot and our passion wanes and it goes away. It's not as strong. It doesn't burn as bright as it once did. Observation number 3 is passion can be misdirected. Just like my singing career or the one I thought I was going to have. You know, I was passionate about it, but it was misdirected. In Romans 10:2, Paul's writing about his love for the people of Israel. And he describes them saying, "I know what enthusiasm they have for God, but it's misdirected zeal." Or in Philippians 3:6, he's writing about his own past, and Paul says, "I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church." You know, Paul, at that time, he was Saul, before his name changed, before he encountered Christ. He's the one who saw the stoning of Stephen, one of the disciples. And he's the one that was, he had a letter with him when he did have that Christ encounter. He had a letter with the high priest giving him permission to persecute and arrest and go after Christians. And it was misdirected zeal. It's filled with misdirected passion. It leaves a mess in our lives. It leaves a mess wherever it goes. So passion can be misdirected. It also can be misdirected when we put other passions ahead of our relationship with God. Again, it's not wrong to be passionate about other things. Christ needs to be the number one in our lives. Number four, passion is a stimulus. It's a shot in the arm. It's a fuel. It's a propellant. It spurs us. It motivates us. It energizes us. The Stanford research, as well as research, they discovered that 15%, listen to this, 15% of a person's success in life is determined by their knowledge. 85% is determined by their attitude and their passion. Passion is a very important part of our lives. God has made us to be passionate. Again, passionate about Him. The opposite of passion is apathy. Apathy never energized anyone. On the contrary, it repels. When somebody's apathetic about something, we're like, we want to step back. We don't want to be a part of that. Passion delivers a power packing punch. It propels a person as they pursue their purpose. It's a lot of P's. Let me say that again. Passion delivers a power packing punch. It propels a person as they pursue their purpose. Passion is necessary. It's important. It's what gets us up in the morning. It's what keeps us working hard, even when the results aren't what we want them to be. You know, it's things don't go the way we planned, but we keep going. We don't give up. You know, you're on a football team. My last year of high school, my football team was 2-7. You know, but never once did I think about quitting because I love the game. Passion helps us. Even when things are difficult, it keeps us going. Passion inspires others. It's contagious. I mean, imagine this if you would. Steve Jobs, you know, before he passed away, Steve Jobs out to sell his new iPhone, and he comes out. No enthusiasm, no energy. He just like, here's his latest gadget. It's not really any different than the last one, but we're going to charge you more for it. You know, I mean, that's kind of what it's like, right? And so, or Walt Disney. Imagine talking to Walt Disney. He's sharing his vision of Disneyland, but he does it without any passion or enthusiasm. How would things be different if John F. Kennedy shared his vision of man going to the moon without any energy or excitement? Or what about Martin Luther King Jr.'s I Have a Dream speech? What if he delivered that without passion? It wouldn't be nearly as powerful and impacting in our lives. Passion is contagious. 2 Corinthians 9:2, Paul tells the Corinthians, "I keep boasting to the churches in Macedonia of your passion to give. Your enthusiasm is contagious. It has stirred so many to do likewise." The passion you exhibit will impact the passion of those around you. It's true in your workplace, it's true in your family, and it's true in the church. Have you ever prayed, "Lord, give me influence," you know, in my business or where I work? Have you ever prayed that for school? "Lord, help me to make a difference. Help me to have influence here." Well, your passion directly affects your ability to do so. You can't start a fire in someone else's heart until it's burning in your own. But when it is, then passion spreads like wildfire. Number five, passion comes from within. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "Nothing great was ever achieved without enthusiasm." And the word enthusiasm comes from two Greek words, en, meaning within, and theos, which means God. So literally, the word enthusiasm means the God within. And so to be passionate about the right things, we have to have God as the priority in our life. Excitement is the result of what's happening around us. Passion comes from within. It's a result of what's happening inside of us. It's a reflection of our heart and who we're serving. It's why the writer of Proverbs wrote, Guard your heart above all else, for it determines your life. And Jesus expressed it this way, your heart will be where your treasure is. Right? We all know that to be true. The things that you're passionate about, where you're willing to spend your money. And you're willing to spend your money about the things that you're passionate about. You know, for me, I love sports. To me, to buy tickets to go to a sporting event, yeah, I'll be happy to. If I can afford it, yeah, I'd love to do that. Concert, not so much. You know, that's not really my thing. I don't enjoy that as much as I enjoy sporting events. You know, we all have those things that we're passionate about. We're willing to do that. See, passion is an inside job. It's not dependent on others. And this is where I think a lot of people get tripped up. Because we think, man, you know, I used to be passionate about God. I used to be passionate about going to church. But then the pastor this or that, the youth pastor, you know, he's no good or whatever. And that's what Mindy says all the time. She tells me, she sends me emails, you know, you're worthless youth pastor. Just kidding. But we do that. We look to others. We say, well, I'm not passionate because of someone else. But passion's an inside job. We can't be dependent on others to be passionate. Now, passion's contagious and it affects others. But we need to be passionate. That passion comes within for us. And so, again, these observations that I've shared with you this morning. First of all, passion's not passive. Passion can be lost. Passion can be misdirected. Passion is a stimulus. And the fifth one was passion comes from within. The sixth one, and I say this for last because this is the good news. Because maybe you realize, man, you know, to be honest, I'm not as passionate about the things of God as I once was. I want you to know the sixth observation is passion can be cultivated. It can be reborn. It can be reignited in our lives. We don't have to settle for living a passionless life in our spiritual walk. In that passage I read, Romans 12:11, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. If you have your Bibles, you can circle that word keep or underline or something, because that word, it's a clue. What God is telling us there is that keeping our spiritual fervor is not automatic. We have to keep it. We have to keep it up, right? Upkeep. It's not automatic. We don't get to just put it on autopilot and let our relationship with God grow. It is not maintenance-free. You know, when I go to buy a shirt, what I look for, wrinkle-free, right? Or I buy dress pants, I want wrinkle-free. Why? Because I don't iron. And, you know, last time I asked Roxy in iron, I got slapped. No, not really. Just kidding. But I don't like to iron. I don't want to go through that. So, we live in an age where there's so many technological advances. You know, we have wrinkle-free pants. It's awesome. And shirts. You know, we buy decking that's composite decking. Why? Because we don't want to stain it or stain it. You know, again, we want to put it down and be done with it. We put maintenance-free siding on our houses because we just want to be done with it. And that's all great. Well and good. I'm thankful for those advances in technology, but spiritually speaking, there's no such thing as maintenance-free Christianity. You can't just fix it and forget it. It's something that takes upkeep. It takes us nourishing our spirit. We need to fan the flame. And this morning, I believe words are very important. You know, from the time our kids were real small, I said, you know, choose your words carefully. Your word's important. Don't say something you don't mean what you say. And so I want to set out with this sentence I'm about to say to you. I want you to hear this. I'm saying, if you don't nourish your spirit, your heart will grow cold and passive towards the things of God. I didn't say may grow cold, or might, or perhaps. I said they will. If you do not nourish your spirit, the passion that you have towards God will wane. Your heart will grow cold and passive towards the things of God. We have to be nourishing our spirit. You cannot generate passion by simply declaring, I'm going to be more passionate, right? It's not just a verbal thing. It's like saying, I'm going to go on a diet, but then not changing your lifestyle at all. It's nice to say it. That's the first step, okay? That's the moment of decision. That's good. But then you got to do something, right? And same with passion. We can't just say, I want to be more passionate. I'm going to be more passionate. We then have to follow through with that. And passion, like any habit or skill, can be cultivated. And this morning, you know, no judgment. I don't want you to respond. I don't want you to raise your hand or say anything or stand up or anything. But just in your own heart, between you and God, I just want you this morning, I want to ask this question. If you were to look at your life and say, you know, really, honestly, I'm not where I once was spiritually. That passion has waned. The flame of that passion that once was. Look at your life. Notice that there's some things in your life that you've allowed to come in since then. I don't, that's not necessarily sinful things or something. But just, you've compromised. Or the, flip the script, maybe the other way. Maybe I used to do some things when I was really close with God, but now I'm not doing those things. And again, no judgment here. We've all been there. We've all, you know, waned in our passion for God. We've all struggled at times. Those are just symptoms of a lost passion. That happens in life. The routine of life, the everyday, just gets in the way. We kind of lose sight of that. We don't fan in the flame. We don't nourish our spirit. And so things happen. And this morning I want to suggest to you that the surest way to cultivate passion, to keep your enthusiasm for God boiling hot, find a way to serve him and serve others. I'm serious. Find a way to serve. And there are plenty of opportunities to serve in the church. And God wants us to do that. And I want to say this. I'm not just trying to sneak this in because we need more children's workers, youth workers, or whatever. This is how we cultivate passion, by serving God and serving others. Every translations I read, it's the same passage, different translations. Listen to this. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Don't hesitate to be enthusiastic. Be on fire in spirit as you serve the Lord. Never be lazy, but work. But work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Be enthusiastic to serve the Lord, keeping your passion toward him boiling hot. Radiate with the glow of the Holy Spirit and let him fill you with excitement as you serve him. If you want to cultivate that passion in your life, maybe this morning you feel like, you know, my passion isn't what it once was. It's not what it needs to be. I've spoken to you. I want to just encourage you. Best way to cultivate that is ask him for help, but then is he serving him? That's what cultivates passion in our heart and our lives. You can't start a fire in someone else's heart, I said this before, until it's burning in your own. And this morning, I don't know where you're, I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know where your relationship with God is. I pray that it's strong and as passionate as ever. That's my desire for myself. That's my desire for everybody, is that our passion. But I know that that's not always the case. It's in my life that's happened. We don't always burn. Sometimes that passion wanes. And sometimes life becomes stagnant. It becomes routine. We're just going through the motion. And I just want to remind you, that's not what God has called us, the kind of life God has called us to live. God wants more for us than that. You know, when God tells us in his word, his word has so many great promises for us. And all those promises and everything he says, when he corrects and when he encourages and everything else, his desire is that we would have a strong relationship with him. That is God's desire. That's what he wants for all of us. This morning, if the Holy Spirit has spoken to you, it's not meant to beat you down or make you feel bad. It's meant to say, man, this is what I want for you. Don't settle for less. You know, how many times do we see people in our lives, they settle for less? They're like, man, this is a horrible decision, but they make it. They're settling for less. And how it must break God's heart when he sees settling for less. That's not what he wants. He wants to have a strong, passionate relationship with each and every one of us. And to do that, we need to fan that flame. We need to serve others and serve him. That's the life God created us to live. Think about this. We serve an extraordinary God. Amen? Amen? We serve a God for whom, think about this. Try to wrap your mind around this. We serve a God for whom there are no impossibilities. There is no such thing as impossible. That word does not exist in God's vocabulary. That's the God that we serve. That's the God that wants to have relationship with us. We serve a God exceedingly and abundantly above and beyond what we can possibly dream or imagine. That's the God who invites us into relationship with him. And he doesn't want us to go through the motions. Because let's be honest, we're not really, if we're going through the motions, we're not going to have any positive effect on anyone. Our family. Oops, my mic. Our family, friends, our coworkers. We've got to be passionate about the things of God. We've got to be passionate in our relationship with him. And again, it's not a got to, like, you better do this. It's like, it's what God's calling us to. The God of the universe, the God who knows no impossibilities, wants this for each of us. He invites the relationship. Again, life becomes routine. We have to work to keep things fresh. That's true in our relationships. That's true in our hobbies, in every part of our lives. And it's certainly true in our walk with the Lord. We need to steadily and constantly stir and fan in the, you know, bonfire, right? You just get the fire going, you sit down in your lawn chair, and you just watch it. What's going to happen? You don't do anything else to it. What's going to happen? It goes out, right? It's just natural. To keep it going, what do you have to do? You have to work it, right? You got to add more fuel. You got to tend to it, you know? You got to do those things. It's the same in our spiritual lives. What God desires for each and every one of us, that we would fan in the flame. And again, this isn't meant to make anyone feel guilty. God is saying, man, if you're settling for less than all of me, won't you not settle anymore? Won't you go all in? Because that really is where joy is found. That's really where peace that surpasses understanding, as God's word talks about. That's where we experience it. We go all in. And we're passionate in our relationship with him. Let's pray together.